Hello everyone, welcome to Animation Nation. I am your host, Prime and Time here, with the latest news on animation and pop culture. Hopefully everyone's having a wonderful day, no matter where you're around the world. I just want to say I really apologize. I haven't uploaded for at least 3 weeks. There has been a lot of transition so far with school so far, and trying to keep up with my stuff, and there wasn't a lot of news but coverage so far. But I've seen a few things happen within my life so far. But as far as I know, I was able to have this time more time to do the podcast. So I really do apologize if I haven't done anything else. I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy month so far, from between April to beginning of May. And a lot of things were happening so far. But luckily, I was able to finally get used to all the things and able to just like do the podcast, what I do so far, what I love. So without any further ado, let's get started with your daily news, because we have a lot of things to cover, honestly, and I appreciate it's important. Now, our first story for today comes from deadline.com that Tom Asham, the president of Warner Bros. Global Kids and Young Adults and Classics, has exited the company. Tom Asham is leaving his post of president of Warner Brothers Global Kids and Young Adults and Classics 2 years after he joined Warner Media, and a month after that the company's merge with Discovery was completed. He is one of the two senior programming executives on the Warner Media side of the company who are departing after their position has been eliminated. Following the merge, along with Brett Sweets, general manager of TNT, TBS, and True TV, both will stay on for a brief transition period. In his role, Asham, a respected veteran TV executive, overall Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, Boomerang, which basically he's the president of almost all the animated studios and programming. These studios of Cartoon Network, Warner Bros. Animation in Los Angeles, and the global responsibility for Turner Broadcasting, classic movies and channels, iconic IP series and characters under the purview, including Looney Tunes, DC's animated superheroes, Rick and Morty, Craig of the Creek, and classic Hanna-Barbera cartoon library, and Tom and Jerry, Scooby-Doo. He subsequently added oversight of kids and family programming for HBO Max, as well as Warner Bros. Harry Potter franchise, as well as the Wizarding World properties. This is what he has to say when he was leaving the company. I was fortunate to have unbelievably excited years rejuvenating some of the world's most iconic franchises and IPs, and helping create a global vision for kids, young adults, and classics within Warner Bros., which he stated. While it's now for me to move on, I hope the new Warner Bros. Discovery leadership team will continue to nurture future generations of fans and incredible teams who are so committed to these brands. Following the Discovery Warner Media merger, Discovery's Kathleen Flinch explained her portfolio, taking control of Warner Media's ad-supported linear networks, including TNT, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, and Boomerang. In the memo to his staff, Tom addresses the post-merger restructuring that led to his exit. Mergers and acquisitions are never easy transitions, and our new leadership team has decided to organize our KYAC team differently, moving studios back underneath the WBTV and the Linear Networks Kathleen's group, he said. While I know that this new configuration will enable you all to continue during the extraordinary work, it doesn't align with the versions I set out to achieve. The new Warner Bros. Discovery leadership has targeted around $3 billion in cost savings from combining the two companies. Former Freeform president Ashim left Disney Network at the start of the pandemic to join WarnerMedia in early April 2020. He reported that Warner Bros. CEO and Sarnoff, the later CEO of studios and networks, who exited the day Discovery merger was completed in a reunion for two seasoned executives who had worked together at Nickelodeon. The content that was under the Isham's purview is disturbed in 192 countries around the world. The new division networks are in 500 million households and delivered throughout 65 channels in 31 languages. Isham joined Freeform when it was still ABC Family in December 2013 and oversaw the rebrand into Freeform. Original series of Freeform include hits of Grown-ish, Drama Bold Type, Siren, Good Trouble, Party of Five, and the newest edition of Motherland for Asylum, and the upcoming Last Summer, produced by Jessica Biel. A well-liked executive, Isham has spent much of his career creating young audiences. He joined the millennial-focused Freeform after serving the general manager of Nickelodeon Television, chief strategy officer in Sesame Street Workshop, and EVP Sesame Street Learning.
There is also a memo what he mentioned, which it says in a quote. This is going to be the last one I have to say.
Hello, KYAC. We'll be making an announcement of momentarily that I've decided to leave the company, but I wanted to share this news with all of you first. Mergers and acquisitions had our nerve and each transition. Okay, this is just basically just continuing, blah, blah, blah. Just to continue the last time I read from his other paragraph. Goodbye, here's what he said as well. Goodbyes are tough, so I'll keep this short. It's been an absolute privilege working with each and every one of you over the past 2 years. It wasn't easy, always easy, but you preserved when the winds were against us and continue to create treasured troves of content and affinity for our brands that I know will continue and surprise the delayed generations to come. I leave you all without nothing but admiration, pride, and will be heckling you from afar with love. Sincerely, Tom Isham. So yes, this has been concerning. As you guys don't know, I was covering this for so quite a while for Warner Bros. Basically just colliding with each other, basically. Ever since AT&T sold Warner Brothers for $3 billion and Discovery decided to buy them, with a new leadership CEO of Warner Bros. From now on called David Zaslav, who's making some rapid changes. This one, for example, with Tom Isham for the past 2 years. So far, what I could tell you is that when it comes to Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, he brought good things to the table. You know, he, for the past 2 years, as far as I know so far, he brought in, like, Kick Credit Decree, he brought in Smiling Friends, and loads of content. He also was able to provide a lot of good content over HBO Max as well. A bit sloppy on the Boomerang stuff, but, like, he was able to do what he can to support that little sister channel, and overall he did a good job so far as I can tell with his time role within Discovery. And it's scary because this whole transition, meaning that if a company buys out your company that you work for, everything's gonna change. What makes it scary is that not only leaderships are gonna be ousted because of favorship to others, there's a possibility that projects will be canceled, new series are going to be tossed in the trash, there's going to be other employees that are going to be fired, not fired, but be let go, honestly, because the companies might see them as like not really necessary or not worth the time, basically. That's how companies work when it comes to transitions, and this is basically scary. Not going to lie, especially you're working for
any of these branches, like Warner Bros., Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, maybe HBO Max, Boomerang, but I thought people were going to work on Boomerang, and just basically just ruins of old cartoons. But official broadcasting, even movies, upcoming like Warner Bros. Official movies, I'll be worrying about, honestly. Everyone is basically on Red Alert, whoever works on Warner Media. We're not sure what's going to happen if all these transitions come together. There's a lot of firings back and forth. We have to wait and see what's going to happen so far. It's been an awkward situation. People say it's a bad thing. People say it's a good thing. We just have to wait and see what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. But we just have to wait and see if this whole Warner Discovery merger is going to be a good thing or a bad thing. We just have to wait and see what's going to happen. And that's all I could tell you about that. It is scary for those who work in there, but you have to wait and see. Make sure you have your portfolios ready, because you never know if the time will be inevitable for you. I'll tell you what. If you guys are going to work in the industry, be aware of these type of transitions and make sure the time is right, honestly. The time needs to be right, because sometimes you never know what's going to happen if people start firing you or firing the people you like to work with. It's a mess, but we're going to see at the end result what's going to happen so far. And we're glad that, and we certainly, hopefully, you're able to see what's going to happen with this merger. So, but yeah, thanks to Tom Esham, who able to just be with the animated studios and created content for the past 2 years. We thank you for everything else. Hopefully, whoever's going to be in charge will probably do something good within the studio. I just don't know what's going to happen. But all I can tell you is that we just need to wait to see what's going to happen. But at the same time, you never know. You never know what's going to happen so far. But at the end of the day, who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I'm not a future teller, but what I can tell you is that no matter what happens, you have to look at the positives. Now, our next story for today, which is sort of a similar topic to what we're talking about. It's the same topic, but it's also with the same topic, which is related to Warner Bros. As well. It's a lot of topics going on with Warner Bros. As a transition, and you guys need to know about that. What's going on aside from that. We got an update from what the whole working from abroad, or how do you say working from like distancing, is from Deadline.com that apparently Warner Bros. Has officially, Warner Bros. Or basically the CEO of Warner Brothers, is that they're going to add a so-called three office day week, basically. So what that means is that ever since the pandemic started, all animated studios or whatever studios you work with went home and do their work from home. This one meaning says that you gotta change the rules, saying that starting on June 1st, whoever's working around the Warner Brothers branch, You gotta work at least 3 days in office and 2 days you either still work on the office or go work at a, or still working at home. As they're making a lot of changes since the whole branch started, honestly. Now, a lot of people are being a bit angry from transition. A lot of people were not pleased about it. This is coming from I'm pretty sure it was Deadline, who mentions about the whole like different scheduling so far. A lot of people are not really that happy so far with the new schedule. that the Dino executives are doing so far. This comes from Variety.com, who made specifically saying that that in the memo of Variety Thursday, Warner Discovery head HR and Andrea Albert Rome retired to staffers that they'd be required to work from the office at least 3 days per week beginning on June 1st. Discovery acquisition of Warner Brothers Media was completed on April 8th. On April 26th, Deadline reported that the company's first memo mentions about the 3-day requirement, which was unpopular among staffers, especially due to the late notices. Thursday's memo did not address this backlash specifically through the company does claim to recognize that this is a period of transition and will require some adjustments for employees and that are not already working in the office. Rome also emphasized that significant advantages to being together, including the great news that the on-site facilities, including fitness, childcare centers, have reopened and that employees would be offered free lunch during the first week back. That would have been nice. The news comes from AIM, a series of high-profile executives exits Warner Brothers Discovery. Early on Thursday, Variety reported that HBO Max's U.S. General Manager of Executive Vice President of Global Data CRM and Growth, Brad Wilson, will be exiting the streamer, aka exiting HBO Max its executive. Just one day after, TBS Programming Chief Brett Witz was learned to be out, as well as the head Gold Commission's Jonan Fultz, the president of Kia's family division, as well as Tom Esham, which we just discovered a couple of minutes ago. Warner Brothers Discovery declined a Variety's request for comment. Now, they also put in the full memo, what they sent to employees, so I'm going to read this one for it to you all, just to give you guys a broad perspective of what's going on. Hi all. The last 30 plus days have been incredibly busy and very productive, and let me just say how grateful we are for everyone's hard work, cooperation, and continued practice. Our patience. While there's still lots more to do, we are making meaningful progress at becoming one company, and that's a statement to your support and dedication. As I said in my last note to you, we will be shifting to a hybrid work schedule of 3 days a week in the office by June 1st. While many of you have been coming in regularly, we recognize that this is a period of transition and will require for some adjustments for others. But we're still really looking forward to coming to see more people returning as there are significant advantages of two coming together in person, collaborating with one another and exchanging ideas and building a sense of community. We do have some great news for you. Many of our site facilities, including a fitness and child care centers, have reopened. I'm also pleased to announce that we will have offering employees free lunch on June 1st to the 7th to welcome you back. More details to come. I hope you will all take advantage of these opportunities to share a meal with colleagues, to get to know one another better, to continue to build one culture, one team. Bon appetit. Signed, Adria. So, a few things to take away from this. One, I didn't know they have a fitness center and child daycare, but that's nice that they have something. That's nice if the animators, want to go go fitness, just go fucking exercise the fucking, fucking arms, legs, and stay fit. Or if any of the mothers and fathers want to leave their child of a daycare center, that's also nice as well. So it's nice to hear that they have those type of necessities of the studio. And plus, free lunch for a week. But something is something. I'm not gonna lie, I'll probably take that adventure to the free lunch. That's my opinion, but whatever. Second of all, I don't know about this, to be honest with you. I mean, it's understandable that they're a new company taking over the whole place and they want to make some changes with what they see fit to be a successful company. But sometimes you gotta have to listen to the employees and what their reasoning is. First of all, I want to take away this. You're a company that is living in around the city of Los Angeles or at least Burbank. Let's be real with that one. Let's be real with this. I'm pretty sure everyone knows, especially the ones who live in California, specifically in the south region of it, LA traffic is crap. It is brutal. Everyone doesn't like it. The freeways are messed up. And you possibly have a higher chance to be late. You should know this by now. I know the company's going to say, well, you should have, well, it's not going to hurt to come early or anything else. True, but look at society right now. I don't want to spare politics as a given one reason. Look at the gas prices. $6 or $7 in Los Angeles for a gallon. You got to be kidding me. Uber's already expensive enough. Taxis? Who uses taxis these days? I'm just saying. Bus transportation, they're always not going to be there on the exact time. Trust me, I've been to bus rides back when I was in college. Sometimes it's a hit or miss, depending on if they're going to be on time or late. I'm going to be real. And this gives at least a good advantage to have people having a hybrid. Now, I'm going to give you some props. Okay, at least you're trying to be reasonable to give at least 3 days. 3 days, okay? 3 days? Okay, I'll do 3 days. No problem. After that, we go to hybrid or whatever. Or just be online and all that stuff. That's reasonable. But look. Everyone is not happy. Everyone does not like for working on abroad. I know people are gonna say, but prime time. That means they're lazy. Do you understand? They're lazy. Some people are, some people aren't. Some people have the reasons to that. Some people don't have the reasons to it. At first, I thought it was gonna be like, do they have children to take care of? But once they mention that they're reopening a daycare center, they're probably gonna leave the kids in the daycare center. So at least that's something. So yeah, at least that's something to take care of that. Then you have to take care of maybe your pets. You might hire a dog sitter, but that'll cost a little bit more from your worth. And that's something to keep an eye on. You gotta have some sort of balance from all this stuff, honestly. You gotta have some sort of balance to think about all that stuff. Okay. Also, we have another article from the same Steam story, but different, but gives more details of the CEO, coming from HollywoodReporter.com, that Warner Brothers Discovery return to office plans has some sort of staffers unstressed. After CEO David Zaslav popped into Warner Bros. A lot of into mid-April for a tour before the company laid out the returns to work plans. So worried about it, what would they look like? Including concerns about early morning hours. Yep, that's what I'm concerned about, early morning hours. After closing the $43 billion merger, that was $8 billion. I'm pretty sure that was the one for like projects for the $3 billion one. In April, to create Warner Brothers Discovery, CEO David Zaslav has requested for staff as he oversees a transition, which the CEO quoted by saying, oh, he said it during an interview with Oprah Winfrey. Okay, all right, let's see what he said in the interview. Be patient with us, he told Oprah Winfrey, who interviewed him during downtown of Burbank, per a source. It's going to be a challenge. He also mentioned in person that I don't think we'll ever get back to the 5 days a week in the office, he told Winfrey. I really believe in being together. You don't build a narrative on Zoom. You don't get a mentor on Zoom. You got to come back to work. That's where a lot of joy it is, and that's where a lot of creativity comes from. Multiple staffers say that they now fear that they'll be leaving the worst of the two worlds. They feel the pressure to return to the office and are expected to be available early in the morning. As previously reported by THR's Kim Master, and Zaslav is an early riser who sometimes expects West Coast execs to attend 5 a.m. staff meetings. Okay, I'm assuming that Mr. Zaslav is not from the West Coast. I can see that. I'm just saying. A source says that Zaslav walked around offices on WB Lotto in mid-April and inquired why they weren't more full, a question that they left one person alarmed, as many are worried about the lingering pandemic. Other sources confirmed the accounts and says it stoked fear among some employees, early nervous about job cuts, and reported around $3 billion worth of costs of synergies to come. Chief People and Culture Officer Andrea Elfrump provided a clarity memo to employees April 25th, informing that the WBD staffers would be shifting to hybrid work schedules at least 3 days a week in the office by June 1st. Another source shoots at the report that this content and claims statements among peers about the early days of Zaslav's regime has largely been positive. People are mostly glad that AT&T era is over, says the source, and WBD rep had no comment. See, sorry about that, folks. I was a bit busy doing other things so far. They need me on the back. So, anyways, a lot of staffers don't like it. Others like it. For me, I would say, after reading the article, it doesn't seem that bad, but at the same time, early in the morning, I know early bird catches the worm, but you at least have some reasonable stuff to be, like, working, honestly. And at least 3 days a week in the office. And I know Zaslav's not basically a morning person. Not everyone's going to be a morning person at all. I know people are going to say, you get a geese job. At the same time, the most important thing is your mental health and the health you get from sleeping and going on your daily routines. So at least have some balance to it as well. So you just have to either just get used to it or at least have some recommendations to Mr. Zaslav. As I could tell from what I see, is that he mostly wakes up around 5 a.m. in the morning, and the article specifically said most of the executives of the East Coast don't expect to be waking up early in the morning. So I'm pretty sure this is an East Coast thing where people don't want to wake up early in the morning. So I'm pretty sure that's what he hears it for. It's basically the culture of it. We don't wake up. We're basically not early birds here in the West Coast. Trust me, I'm not really much of an early bird as I was as a kid. Wakes up every Saturday morning watching cartoons or whatever. Free is not that much anymore. But overall, we just have to wait and see what's gonna happen. I mean, if I were you, in his position, working with this company and they change the schedule, if you still want to keep your job, I really recommend to follow as what they say. Just follow what they have to say if you want to keep your job. But if you refuse not to follow the rules, you might as well. I'm just saying you might as well have to quit your job, resign, and at least find other places to work, honestly. I mean, pretty sure there's other places to work than just Warner Brothers. So that's what I could tell you. If you guys want to keep your job, follow what they say. If you don't, you have to find somewhere else, honestly. That's what I could give you guys so far. But we just have to wait and see what this transition with the new CEO, Mr. David Zaslav. So hopefully good things might turn out from this whole acquisition, honestly. And I really hope that nothing bad might happen. But a lot of people are distressed, but all I can tell you is that just wait and see. Hopefully something good might happen to it. Hey, at least the gym and the daycare is open. At least that's the thing. Now, our next story today comes from IGN.com, and I'm really excited for this one, not gonna lie. That there was an update for Nick All-Star yesterday. They have unveiled the new DLC characters for Nick All-Star Brawl, which I can't wait to see. Which a trailer has been featured yesterday. That the Nickelodeon has just released the three DLC characters, which include one of them is Jenny Wakeman, aka XJ9, from the television animated series My Life as a Teenage Robot. I like that show. I recommend if you guys watch it, you guys have the time. I really like it. As well as the anticipation of the, lo and behold, Hugh Neutron from Jimmy Neutron. Yes, Hugh Neutron is gonna be playable. Gonna be a playable character, as well as Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life. I've seen a few episodes of Rocco's Modern Life. It's a good slice of life show with a lot of adult humor sprinkled into it. I really recommend it. A few of my friends didn't like it. I like it. It's a good series, honestly, in my opinion. Which each of the characters will be coming out in separate seasons. So Jenny Wakeman is out right now if you have the game. So yeah, it's out right now. Hugh Neutron is coming out around this summer, so I can't wait. Next week, a couple weeks, is going to be June, so I can't wait to see more details of that. And Rocco from Rocco's Modern Life is coming on fall, so I can't wait for that one as well. So that's what we have so far. I actually played obviously, I have Nick All-Star on my PlayStation 5. And let me tell you. By the way, I'm just letting you guys know. I know for those who have Nick Smash, you guys want to know about Nick Smash or whatever. For the past few months before May, they added updates. And these updates give us, like, free characters. Like, they give us Garfield and Shredder. They're not bad. I like Shredder because he seems OP. I'm just saying. And a few new platforms. Now with Jenny and the other DLC characters, they're paid to get the character, also get their stage. Obviously, I got excited. Obviously, I pay at least, like, here in the US is like $5, $4.99 to get Jenny as well as her stage platform, which is basically based off her city. And let me be honest with you, her playset is great. I could make some good ass combos with that. And there was, like, many references of her moveset that come from each episode, like where she there was a move where, like, she was, like, using her hammers banging on the ground. There was one episode that she did that. And then there's her iconic roller skating, like in her intro of the show. And then. You know, when you get to customize your skin, they added a skin of her having, like, painting red with hot flames. Like the show where Jenny gets, like, some sort of makeover with a couple of mechanics, and mechanics decided to, like, give her, like, cool Gucci spray paint, painting with hot flames, and they literally just wax her and just give her, like cute little fuzzy dice around her neck. They're like, oh, that's sort of sweet from these mechanics. Nice. They're like their personal beauty salon. Oh. It's basically her beauty. The mechanics are basically the auto mechanics are basically her beauty salon at that point. What's next? The engineers are gonna be the her personal surgeons. Oh, wait, never mind. She has her mom to fix those free of charge. But I'm just saying, the engineers are basically her the emergency room. But bits and stuff like this is just really fun, and I like her moveset as well as the when she gets to fly. There's like one moveset I'm trying to figure it out where she gets to fly if you got out. She still has her grapple that could, like, if obviously if you get out, you could just grapple through the ledge and just like get yourself back up. And she has like her remote control her little remote control rocket that you can move around and target enemies. She's a really good character to play, honestly. I'm getting used to playing as her. She's a good character, not gonna lie. The one thing I also was impressed was that her design is great, because it's a platform basically based on cartoon characters. Sometimes there's gonna be cartoon characters won't be looking as good in 3D. However, what I could tell from other animated series, or animated, well, sometimes like that, but the animated films, like Cloud with the Chance of Meatballs, Hotel Transylvania, and maybe the Spider-Verse, previous Spider-Verse as well, where he kind of made 3D, basically 3D characters into two-dimensional characters in some sort of way. Like, if you take a look at Cloud with a Chance of Meatballs, the way they animate the characters is like they animate like a 2D character, like squats and stretch. And same goes with Hotel Transylvania, where the characters squats and stretch from limbs to limbs that you never thought of doing with a 3D character, and as well as making them look 2D from the side angles. And that's what they did with Jenny Wigman, which they made 3D to make her still look like a 2D character. That's what I like about that. I like it how people are experimenting with that. It's sort of similar to animation in 2D. Like, you draw 2D animation with 2D characters, but you want to make the 2D characters as realistic as possible, like 3D shapes. Now we're doing this the opposite with 3D characters. Make them at least like to their 2D counterparts, to do more like stretchy, wacky, and make it more like two-dimensional, but they're three-dimensional at the same time. It's an interesting transition. I want to see more on this stuff. It's very, very interesting. I really like this character and the way how she presents. She has a catchy theme song, honestly. I'll listen to that theme song of My Life as a Teenage Robot all the time. And the art style from that show is really great. And I'll quick tell you that the art style of the show, I believe it came from like around the 40s, 50-ish, where everything seems a bit futuristic. I would call it the Metropolis style. Because if you guys haven't seen Metropolis, like a 1927 move, black and white film, where like basically people who are rich live in the high ups, people who are poor living in the down ups or whatever. It's a good movie to watch, honestly. It's a silent film, but it's a good movie to watch. It is all futuristic stuff. And they have this sort of like futuristic art style where everything's all flat, but more linear / flat outlines. And I really like the style of that show, honestly. It's very unique the way it is. I really like it. There's a premise of a teenage girl who's a robot, want to live a life as an actual teenage girl. There's an episode of that with the whole, she wears like a real suit skin, which I don't want to get in because episode's pretty creepy and I don't want to watch it again. It reminds me of Venom, but if Venom comes like 10 times worse than that backstory. But overall, good character. I love playing as her. She has some great combos. I recommend it. Now, I'm really also glad they brought in Mr. Hugh Newton himself. Ever since Nick All-Star came around July of last year, everyone was hyped. Everyone wants to say, hey, we want Hugh Newton. Even one of my favorite YouTubers named Uncle Al, who does amazing voice acting from any animated character, who really wants Hugh Newton to be in Nick Smash. Not only that, even the voice actor of Hugh Newton, the actual voice actor, even said he wants his character to be in Nick All-Star. So everyone knows we all want Hugh Newton to be in as a playable character. And lo and behold, we finally got our wish. Nick All-Star came back. I'm tapping on my container right now with water, but I'm just saying, we finally got it. Nick All-Star is not dead. He's not dead, even though it was sort of dead, but now it came back to life thanks to Hugh Neutron and the other characters. I'm really glad they're gonna have Hugh Neutron. The way they show on the trailer, they have him riding on a motorcycle, and that's pretty funny because there was this one episode where I think Timmy turned his dad. Jimmy Neutron turned his dad into like this more cool, hip 1950s greaser, and he's like riding a motorcycle, have a leather jacket and sunglasses, like too to be cool, Miss Neutron style. And the way they presented that fucking motorcycle is a reference to the episode. If they have that skin to have Hugh Neutron to be that cool version of the 1950s greaser, I would play. Fuck it, I would play Hugh Neutron. I just wanted to play Hugh Neutron, man. He's the most funniest character ever, and I'm glad like the internet was able to just get him. I'm pretty sure they say that they had like some sort of official polls to vote for you want to be in Nick Smash. That's interesting. I'm going to vote for El Tigre to be in Nick Smash. He seems like a perfect candidate, honestly. To have his attack, has like claws attacks and his like hand chains. I remember the few episodes he uses hand chains to grapple on the ledges. And like maybe he could use like this like air slash attack. He just like probably just like slash on the air and have like the air slashes goes to the enemy. That would be a good concept for El Tigre to be in Nick Smash. It should as well as be a good platform to have it like a having like in his own hometown city, maybe even a volcano, because he had in the last episode he had like on a volcano. But that'll be interesting to have Manny Rivera to be in Nick Smash. But overall, I'm excited for these DLC characters. Rocco seems a bit reasonable, since you gotta have like all characters, you might as well have Rocco as well. I don't know how he's gonna play, but we just hope we can see. I'm pretty sure you guys are also excited for Rocco coming out as well. I've seen a few episodes of it, like I mentioned before, with Rocco's Modern Life, as well as the special Rocco's Modern Life TP Static. It's a good special. I recommend it. Just a little commentary on the future, and as well as commentary on adult life and whatever. It's a good slice of life show. I like it. Not gonna lie, I recommend it. I don't know what it's gonna do with Rocco. Maybe have him and Heifer. Have Heifer in the background and his boss just yelling at Rocco, or have like, you know, Nerve will be like, "Oh, Rocco, you don't be careful with that heat smash. I'm feeling nauseous," or something like that with one of his friends. But overall, I'm hyped up. I'm really hyped up. You haven't gotten Nick Smash or Nick All-Star Brawl? I really recommend it. I like it. It's still a bit choppy, but I like it overall. Available on all platforms. I know it's not a sponsorship by them, but I really recommend it, honestly. It's a good show, and I can't wait for Multiverses. They're Warner Brothers' own version of that, so I'm still waiting for that to come out. But yeah, big win for Hugh Neutron, my friends. Big win for Hugh fucking Neutron. Let's go. I just wish they had all the voice actors. That'd be perfect to have the voice actor of Hugh be in it, but we just wait and see what's gonna happen. So yeah, I can't wait for that. Now, our last episode for today comes from NickAlive.net, that some sort of SpongeBob X Steam Universe crossover artists are being attacked by fans. Please also the article wants to remind you that please don't do this. So there was a little bit of a episode with an episode called Idiot Box, an episode being animated in a Steven Universe style. An artist who worked on the SpongeBob project has been come forward with some new insights into how it came to happen. Despite what you think of the SpongeBob X Steven Universe episode from Nickelodeon, you shouldn't attack the artists involved in the process. This goes with any piece of media too. It's important to realize that these are real people trying their best, and so no one should be sending them threats. Constructive criticism is what SpongeBob fans should be doing instead. It's okay to not like something, but it's not okay to send threats to the artist. Constructive criticism is the way to go. Yeah. If you guys haven't seen it, there was a episode of remaking of the Idiot Box where, you know, SpongeBob and Patrick are playing in this empty box and Squidward gets angry for them playing in the box. You know, the whole meme that comes out of it as the imagination came out. It was sort of a remake and did it in a Steam Universe style. A lot of people didn't like it. I actually went to Twitter and saw the original person who was the art style for the short for it. I definitely agree with this article, especially what Val Skibum said in his video. Do not send any death threats. Okay? Sending death threats saying that your art style sucks or you should have just stick to something else instead of using Steam Universe stuff. Look, don't send any threats, okay? At least give them constructive criticism. Like, this is one tweet where someone mentioned the artist, like, saying that, as much as I appreciate Steam Universe's art style, sometimes it seems a little bit repetitive, and maybe use something unique a little bit for this thing a little bit, but at least try to have something originality for a little bit for a while I appreciate the art style for Steam Universe, something like that. I'm just giving you an example, whatever, but just give constructive criticism as possible. Like someone who mentioned that the legs for Squidward was a little bit off on the style, and she was able to just agree with that to work on the to fix Squidward's legs on that short. But criticizing the artist, not criticizing, but like threatening the artist is not good. Obviously, you should not threaten anyone else with their art style. Just don't be like the Steam Universe community who did some heinous stuff where they literally threatened an artist who drew, quote unquote, Rose Quartz skinny, even though it is her art style, and they almost driven her to commit suicide and she went to the hospital. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Even gone to the point where they literally criticize one of these storyboard artists for Peridot and Lapis shipping, where they say, hey, this shipping didn't work, it's all your fault, you storyboard artist. And then guess what? This is what she did. She privated her Twitter because of the whole backlash, because she didn't give, quote unquote, the fans what they wanted. My friends, this is just a show. Calm down. Calm the hell down. Or at the time when they threatened Rebecca Sugar on her latest artwork, where he accused her as blackface, but she didn't intentionally make the character concrete black. It wasn't intentional. From that art book. Sorry about that. Just don't be like the Steam Universe fans who did that in the past. I know a lot of communities are very toxic, and especially in the art community here in the US. You have to think critically. We're not cavemen. Alright, we're not cavemen. You don't send threats. Just give constructive criticism as it was, and don't just say your art style sucks. You should have just why you're making this Cal Art style stuff. Look, I know that was sort of me in the past when I was on like 16 when Teen Titans Go came out and whatever and Seniors came out. But I got to learn over time that even though the art style is a bit repetitive, you have to think there's a lot of people who did some hard work on this animation and people that give their efforts to make the animation work. Despite how good or bad it is, you have to give at least some efforts to what they did so far. And that's what I learned for the past like 3 or 4 years of my time. And I went up to get to this point where I learned that everything, no matter what, how horrible, what style content that may seem terrible to you, at least yet you appreciate the animator and people who work on it, who worked on this project, honestly. At least give them some appreciation what they did so far. At least give them just at least some criticism, constructive criticism as much as possible, and treat the people who made the short right, honestly. Just don't send any threats. I beg of you, don't do that. Here in the Animation Nation, we don't send any threats or anything else to creators as much as possible, honestly. And look, we recommend just give constructive criticism as much as possible, honestly. Especially only for the ones who deserve and preserve criticism, especially for big corporates who've done some heinous stuff in the past. Looking at you, animation industry, as well as the video game industry, mostly. But overall, you have to give the people who make this stuff some credit what they did so far. It was an effort. They did what they can. As long as they're able to learn from it, everything should be good. Just don't give it any threats. Please, don't give it any threats. It is terrible to do. It brings out the wrong message. And plus, it makes you look like an a-hole. So, that's what I could say from this situation so far. Just please don't do this. I beg of you. Just don't. It's not worth your time. It's not worth your time to criticize people for threatening. Just don't threaten people. Just at least give yourself like mindful criticism. Actually, like I strive to do. Just not worth it, honestly. Now, that's it for today's news. Everyone, hopefully you liked today's news. Make sure you guys follow our official Twitter account called Animation9010. That's Animation9010 for more updates over there. Also, we have another podcast called the Pogscast for more updates over there as well. I haven't uploaded for at least a few weeks so far. We were thinking of doing it coming back so far, but we'll let you guys know on the other podcast. So, this is Animation Nation. I am prime time here. Hopefully, get to see you guys on tomorrow or next week, depending on how some new episodes. Have a wonderful day and stay safe. Goodbye.